Hello, this is Brent Leary, and I'm about to go one-on-one with Jennifer Roberts, Marketing Manager at Collective Intellect. Jennifer, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So before we get into the whole reason for the call, which is you guys did this really interesting project with tracking this the way companies were successful or not too successful when it comes to advertising during the Super Bowl, before we jump into that, give us a little bit of your personal background.
Well, I've been at Collective Intellect for nearly 2 years as their marketing manager. Started off at Sun Microsystems doing web development and web marketing for nearly 10 years. And before that, was cheering on the Longhorns at UT Austin.
Wow. Okay. So you're the Big 12 country down there?
Yes.
Okay, well, so before we jump into the Super Sunday ad tracker, you mentioned that you're the marketing manager for Collective Intellect. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what Collective Intellect does.
Collective Intellect is a social media and text analytics company, and we're one of the few companies that are able to surface actionable insights from social media conversations or enterprise text. So we help customers or our clients better understand their customers' intentions, expressions of behavior, so they can make better strategic and tactical decisions based on this intelligence.
So I mentioned that you guys ran something called the Collective Intellect Super Sunday Ad Tracker, and it looks like you did that in conjunction with CNBC. But maybe you could tell us about the ad tracker and why you guys decided to kind of measure the impact that brands were having here.
Well, we partnered with CNBC to put together the, as you titled it, the CNBC CI Super Sunday Ad Tracker. And basically it was designed to measure the influence of ad campaigns both prior to the big game, the Super Bowl game, and then after. And we did a slightly different take on the traditional ranking system that you might have seen with, like, the Ad Bowl by looking at not only the share of conversations, so volume ranking of how often a campaign was talked about, but then how consumers were talking about the brand. And by extension, understanding their expressions of intention along purchasing language, viewing behavior, if they found an ad funny or offensive, and how that volume activity translated into a definition of the engaged customer. So we took these different values of positive indicators, subtracted the negative indicators like offensive or unfavorable, and came up with a value for an engaged customer, and then ranked each brand based on that particular categorization.
Now, I noticed on the website that you guys put together, you broke down the categories into engaged consumers, and you ranked the brands by the way they were able to engage consumers, and you also have total buzz. Maybe you can explain just at a high level what engaged consumers are versus total buzz.
Okay. The engaged consumers is a value, and it represents the social indicators that we created specifically for the ads for the Super Bowl. And so we created indicators around affinity, favorite, purchasing language, funny, viewing intent, offensiveness, and favorability. So what we were trying to do is isolate and extract conversations related to how consumers were reacting to a brand, if the campaign was influencing, if they intended to, like, view a specific movie based on the trailer, if they were influenced to purchase a brand based on a campaign like Chrysler or Chevrolet, or if they actually were turned off completely by to purchase or like a brand based on how offensive they found a particular campaign. So basically we were trying to tie conversations to the actual brand and the actual ad so we could track the effectiveness of those particular campaigns on consumer behavior. And then we ranked those in the engaged consumer index so our clients could see, okay, you know, a couple of days before the big game, how is the advertising impacting consumer expressions around intent to purchase? And did that change as the ad was, you know, promoted on YouTube or was shown during the Super Bowl? And how long after the game did consumers continue to express an interest in purchasing or viewing?
Now, one thing that I found interesting as I was looking at some of the results, and I like these metrics that you have for favorite, affinity, purchase language. It looks like it was sort of the big three in a number of ways were the M&M's, Chevrolet, and Doritos. Because I'm looking at the favorite, Doritos and M&M's. I mean, they were neck and neck. Affinity, M&M and Chevrolet, and then Doritos. And then purchasing language, Chevrolet. And actually, the purchasing was kind of interesting. Chevrolet was number one, but then there's a deep fall off to Galaxy and then Chrysler. So you put some kind of weighting on each of these different categories to come up with the mix and the overall winners. Would that be correct?
I'm sorry, your question was around weighting of the different indicators?
So, yeah, you actually get these categories, and then you weight the categories, and you come up with the overall winners.
Yes. Basically, we calculated, the volume of conversations related to specific indicators and then configured a value for those.
Now, that's interesting because Chrysler was one of the most popular. It got a lot of buzz. It was a lot of engagement, but it also looks like it was one of the ones that was at the top of the offensive list. That's kind of curious there.
Yes. Well, what happened with that, it was really kind of interesting and rather amusing. So the Chrysler ad obviously generated a lot of conversation, but it wasn't until Karl Rove actually reacted unfavorably to the ad that it really prompted a lot of discussion and a lot of conversations in the social media universe. So when Karl Rove was offended by the ad, people got on and started conversing how they were offended that Karl Rove was offended. Uh-huh. And so that really, we have a whole indicator dedicated to capturing consumers that were expressing offensiveness. And so although they weren't really offended by the ad, they were offended by Karl Rove, we were still able to extract that conversation and extract the language that the customer was using and see how other variables can impact the impact of a campaign. So there's the ad, and then there's, kind of media and entertainment individuals who can impact the discussion as well.
Interesting. So that one influential person, because he has an audience and he was saying things not only on social, but also on traditional media like TV, he actually drove the kind of discussion around unfavorability and offensiveness.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that kind of brings up a really interesting point that social media really is extending the conversation, both in terms of encouraging it on traditional media and within the social media sphere. So it's not like you release an advertising or a campaign and it's a isolated incident. It's the conversation continues both before and long after maybe a campaign has been released. And I think it's really critical for companies to realize that they have a much longer-term impact or influence on the conversation than they ever imagined just by tapping into the social media and understanding what consumers are saying specifically around their behavior or action in response to a campaign. Because really, at the end of the day, they're trying to influence consumer intentions to purchase or to view, and so understanding that they can have long-term impact on that discussion is something that I think that was very interesting about this particular project.
Purchase language. This was really interesting to me because Chevrolet seemed to have done a really good job across the board, but they blow everybody away when it comes to purchase language. Well, can you explain that a little bit?
Sure.
This is Justin. Typically, Chevy had really engaging commercials that tied into people understanding that they want their new product that would come across the board, and that's where you really start with purchase language.
What's interesting about the way we're able to extract consumer language is that we actually are looking for words where the customer is saying, I want to purchase, I want to buy. For any sort of kind of variation on that particular term, we're able to identify it and collect it and categorize it under an indicator like purchase intent.
And viewing intent. What can you explain what viewing intent is?
Viewing intent is related to customers who are expressing an intent to watch a show, intent to view. They're maybe watching a show. Any sort of activity related to their viewing habit. And what's another important distinction about our indicators is that there's implied sentiment in these indicators. So consumers expressing an intention to view or intention to purchase we presume is a positive sentiment, is a positive reaction to a campaign or to a trailer or other outreach. Unlike GoDaddy's campaign that elicited a lot of offensive and unfavorable conversations, we actually, you know, you extend that idea and it's more of a negative sentiment, if you will, in regards to a particular campaign or ad. And so we're not necessarily looking at, you know, like or dislike or kind of more basic sentiment application, but really within the conversation, what's the context, the like and dislike?
So M&M's, like I said before, comes up quite a bit on the positive side of things. Are there a couple of things that you noticed that maybe would be good takeaways for companies that are trying to figure out how they could leverage the social chatter? Because it seems like M&M must have done a pretty good job.
One thing we noticed is that people wanted to laugh. They wanted it to be funny. And although, you know, we did mention that Chrysler had a significant impact and influence as far as driving the conversation, most of the time, the ads that resonated most strongly with viewers was if they were funny, if they were lighthearted. That seemed to create the most positive reaction within our indicators.
So let's look at the flip side. What kinds of things, if you look at GoDaddy, what are kind of the things that people probably should avoid when they start leveraging these different social channels that communicate, engage, and create the right kind of buzz?
Well, I think that most obviously, maybe tattoos and young women probably don't resonate necessarily well with audiences. And, you know, I think they've gone down a particular path of really pushing the envelope as far as their advertising campaign, and perhaps it's either people are either dulled by it or they're just not particularly moved by it. But it just seemed like the content of their advertising wasn't eliciting the right response.
So they were looking like they wanted to create the buzz, and they created buzz, but it really wasn't the positive kind of buzz that most companies really are looking for.
Right. So, yes, absolutely.
So if you're a smaller company, because these are bigger brands, what are some of the takeaways just in general that a smaller company can should be looking at in terms of trying to figure out how to create experiences that have positive buzz and also lead to customer engagement and also lead to that purchasing opportunity?
I think for smaller companies, it's really looking at it strategically, like where do they want to invest their time and energy as far as adoption and usage of social media. And if that's supporting their clients and amplifying what their clients are doing, that's important. It's understanding the metrics of their social media within the context of their overall marketing strategy or their overall business strategy, and really trying to tie any outreach efforts they have to other metrics within the business, but also to move beyond just monitoring mentions and sentiments. It's really trying to isolate how are customers reacting a particular outreach and how is that influencing their behavior. But ultimately, they want to drive ROI, they want to drive business. So really recognizing that social media can play a part in that, and then understand how to measure the influence of their outreach through social media, I think is very critical.
We've just had a great conversation with Jennifer Roberts, marketing manager over at Collective Intellect. Jennifer, where can people learn more about what you guys do, but also a little bit more about the Super Bowl results you have?
They can go to collectiveintellect.com to learn more about our company, and there's a link available from the front page about the Super Bowl, and that will take them to the CNBC CI Super Sunday ad tracker, where they can actually play with the content, play with the metrics, and there's some additional information about it as well.